You know, last session I started the Basics of Life series. And I began to explain to you the three components of keeping a body alive. So you take the body and you take it down to its smallest component, which is a cell. And you have to feed that cell, you have to cleanse that cell, and you have to protect that cell. Otherwise, that cell can't replicate itself in becoming more and more healthy cells. So the only way you can have a healthy you is you have to complete those three basic things. And then I showed you there is also a parallel of everything in the natural in the spirit. And actually, it's the spirit realm that is first, and then things in the natural follow. And I also showed you that when you take the spirit and you condense it down to its smallest component, and you break it down, and you're dealing with that spirit, that there's something called the heart in the Bible. Now, when you say heart, most people think you're talking about the pump in your chest. But nowhere in the Word of God, when it says the word of heart, when it says the word heart, is it speaking of a pump. And if you look at the word, I've broken it down for you many times, but it literally means the things where the flow of God, the flow of everything in life flows through you. So it's speaking about what flows through you, because what flows through you is what you become. And so when you break it down to that smallest component, guess what? You have three things. Three things keep your body alive. Three things keep your spirit alive. You have to feed the spirit, you have to cleanse the spirit, and you have to protect it. And we showed you that to feed it, Jesus said, in the book of John, it says that the Word was made flesh, and that same Jesus who said the Word, his Word says that it's, he's made flesh, that same Jesus said he's the bread of life. So every day to feed it, to feed your spirit, you need the bread of life. So you need to eat your daily bread. It means you have to be in the Word. Then we talked about cleansing the spirit. And you can go back and I broke all this down and walked you through each and every phase of it. These are the basics. You have to know. If you can't keep your body alive and your spirit alive, we've wasted our time doing everything else. We have to be able to live and be healthy and strong in both sides, body and spirit, if we're ever going to walk this thing out that God has called us to do. So in cleansing that spirit, we talked about washing with the water of the Word, and I explained what all that meant. And it's when the Spirit and the Word come together through you by spending time in your Word, spending time with the Spirit of God, getting revelation on that Word. And then we talked about protecting. How do you protect it? Remember, we have to get, I even read you the scripture, where we have to get the contaminants, the Bible says, out of our spirit. So just like in the natural, in your body, remember I spend so much time talking about that there's, you know, bugs and oxidation, which is nothing more than oxidation. It's another word for rust. Is rust a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. It breaks things down, destroys things. It shortens lifespan. And so in the natural, you know, we talked about the things that we protect us from oxidation and the bugs that are in our environment, you know, viruses, parasites, bacteria, fungals, yeast. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are coming against us. When the Spirit, I read you the scripture where it says, when you're concerning your things on earth, it says, don't do that because that's where moth and rust does corrupt. So see, if you start making your focus in life on the things in this life, you will rust out before your time in the Spirit. And you will be devoured by the bugs, the moth and the rust, thus caressed. They come in and they break you down spiritually, and you live below the capacity that God's called you to live. So it was feed, it was cleanse, and it was protect. And from there, I thought, I can't make it any more basic than that, but if you're not doing at least that, I'm telling you, you're not going to have a healthy Christian life. It won't be healthy. So today, I want to move into part two. And I want to talk about developing a Christian lifestyle. And that's a whole other thing. Proverbs 18:21. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. I just have to stop. Because we read past that scripture, and I don't think we're really listening to what the Word of God is teaching here. Death and life. You possess the ability to either kill yourself or to add life to yourself. Is that not what that Bible said? The power of life and death is where? It's at the tongue. So you have to say something. You have to say something when you talk to yourself. You have to talk to other people when you talk. So you get a choice for every time you open your mouth. Are you going to kill something or are you going to make it alive? If you're always talking about, I hate this. I wish I didn't. I hate my job. I wish I didn't have to go to work. You killed it. Killing it, man. Killing it. You know, I don't even like that person. I wish they, or I don't like so-and-so. You killed it. You don't know, God probably put that person in your life because that's who's supposed to help bring the abundance and make the connections you need, but you're too busy yoked up against that person and your mouth's putting it on it and you're killing anything God's tried to do through that person. My, I'm talking to myself right now. What are we saying? We're saying, according to the scriptures here, and if you don't mind, we're saying what's in our heart. And so, I'm going to teach you something this morning. If you didn't hear anything else I said, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk reap the consequences. So there is a reaping that comes from what you're saying. Now, listen to me. There's two voices out there. There's only two. There's the voice of God. That's one voice. And there's everything else. Now, if you make it harder than that, there's this voice and there's that. But no, there's just two. How do I know if it's the voice of God? Because it'll be lining up with this. And if it's not lining up with this, it is not the voice of God. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how awesome it sounds. But it's a good work. It may be a good work, but it doesn't line up with this. It's not the voice of God. Now, I'm not here to judge and say it's good or bad. All I'm saying is it's not God. And I don't know about you, but I'm to a place in my life I really only want God talking to me right now. It's the only. Now, I have to listen to a lot of voices. But I know all those other voices are really from one source. And I really don't want to hear those voices. I have to hear them, but I'm not receiving what I'm hearing. There's a big difference. I can hear a lot of things, but I don't have to agree, and I don't have to receive it. But when I hear something that lines up with the Word of God, I'm like, that's me right there. See, like you're on board right now. You're going, yeah, amen, yeah, yeah. Why? Because you're agreeing with it. Your spirit knows that's right. You know it's true. And you know it's going to bring something good and facilitate a good work in your life. And that helps you to be a better person. That helps you to develop a lifestyle that is conducive for health, wealth, and prosperity. We use those terms, but they got shifted so far out of normalcy that you got focused on the stuff instead of the core of who we are and what God wants to produce through us. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. Look right back at him and say, because you're going to produce good fruit. So there's two voices, the voice of God and everything else. And listen to this. I'm going to give you a Hainanism. Whatever is speaking to you will soon be speaking through you. Why do I say that? Because you better be watchful who you're allowing to influence you. Luke 6:45. Now this verse in here is talking about the things in the heart of a man. And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So listen to this. The devil will tell you what you want to hear. God will tell you what you need to hear. Now, why am I saying that? Because, listen, because sometimes you don't want to listen to the voices that are always telling you what you want to hear. Sometimes you need a voice to tell you what you don't want to hear. But what you want to hear and don't want to hear, it has to line up. Because I can tell you, there's a lot of things I don't want to hear. But that don't mean I need to hear them. Now, see, y'all missed that there. There's a lot of negativity speaking to me on a regular basis. You walk outside your front door, negativity is waiting on you. It will hunt you down. How do the people find you? And they're like energy vampires. They come up, blah, 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 and they want to latch on, and they just suck the life right out of you. So you don't need that. You don't want to hear it, but you don't need it. But there are sometimes you need to hear some things that you don't want to hear. That is indeed the voice of God. God loves you enough to tell you the truth. So just be watchful of the voices that are always telling you what you want to hear. And listen, I don't mind telling you. Whew. I have had to unlearn and relearn so many things that I heard when I was younger. Well, Mama always said, Daddy always said. Well, Mama said, well, Mama said, well, Mama said. Well, Mama was wrong. God loved her soul, but Mama was still wrong. Now, I'm just picking on mamas. There's a lot of voices that have talked to all of us, and we took it at face value because we had a relationship with those people. Now, the hardest thing about that is they're hard to forget because they're so deeply entrenched. And we even got in the habit where we start telling our next generation. We start telling our friends, repeating the same statements we heard over and over. And that stuff is in there. And so all I can tell you is when this word begins to come to me, in whatever way it comes, through reading, if it comes through a rhema, somebody speaking, and there's an anointing present, I can tell you, it goes in, and it confronts that area of Mama. And it kicks out the old, and it puts in the new truth. And it has never failed me yet. Because any time this truth has replaced an untruth, I have seen improvement in my life. I've seen healing in my life. I've seen regeneration in my life. I've seen fruit where I was barren when I allowed the exchange to take place. Are you listening? And so listen, it doesn't matter how you justify the choice. If you realize the truth, you're reading the Word of God or you hear the Word of God, and it's like, oh, yeah. What it does, it confronts you to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And even if you don't choose God, you still made a choice. So they put it this way. If God reveals the truth to you and you don't embrace it, you just sided with the enemy. Jesus says you're either for me or you're against me. You can't hang somewhere in the middle. Are you listening to me? So once you realize that truth, you're confronted to make that your choice now, if you will. So it doesn't matter how you justify a choice. If you don't choose God, it doesn't matter what it is. And I've heard so many justifications. Yeah, but Bishop, it's a good thing, and it may be a good thing, but it doesn't agree with what God says. But it's going to help this one. It's going to help that one. Well, it might, but it just doesn't line up. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that any time that something looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And somewhere down in that, you know, I'm an avid fisherman. And I can only imagine what that little brim is sitting down there by the dock. That's my imitation of a fish. I know it's probably not that good, but he's hanging out, and you put this big ball of bread. He's starving. He hasn't eaten for 3 days, and you sink that hook down in there. You drop that bread ball down there, and he sucks it in. Now, you know that bread ball's looking good. And it's not that the bread ball wasn't good for the fish, and it would nourish the fish. Problem is, there was a hook in it. And so I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying it's not going to bless folk. I'm not saying it's going to, but somewhere in there, there's a hook in it because it didn't line up with the Word of God. And so, according to what's in a person's heart, it's from that reservoir, that abundance, that's what's going to start speaking. And so you can sit there and you can try to fix your mouth, but you're not going to fix your mouth until you fix your heart. Because it's out of here, that flow. Remember, not the pump. You got to fix the flow of your life, and until the flow of your life is fixed, it's cleaned, it's fed, it's protected, and you cleansed and purified, that mouth's not going to clean itself up. So you can make conscious effort, and that's a good start. But if you want to fix the problem, you got to go to the heart of the problem. So remember, the word heart is the center of what's flowing through you. So everything, listen to me, everything you expose yourself to is a part of that stream. So I'm going to say it this way. What's coming to you will soon be going through you. Proverbs 23:7. It tells us, so as a man thinketh, so he is. So everything we encounter in conscious thought, we have to process it to see, do we accept it or do we reject it? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else. Now, there's a lot of else in here. There are 66 books in here of else. But it said, above all else, guard your heart. Guard the flow. In other words, monitor the access points of what's flowing through you. Who are you hanging around? Who are you talking to? Who are you listening? Who are you believing? Who are you not believing? What's influencing and who is influencing you in your life? You got to guard it. You got to monitor it. That's what the Word of God says. So here's a Hananism. What you're thinking about today is what you'll be doing tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I'm going to read this one from the English Standard Version. I think it gives a good depiction here. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does take captive mean? It means just what it says. You need to seize the thought and you need to put it in captivity. It likens it in the Hebrew meaning to taking a prisoner of war, a POW. So you need to take that thought and you need to lock it up. Lock it up and lock it out. So it no longer has access to the general flow. You got to get it out of your flow. You've got to get it out of your thought process. You've got to get it out of your influence. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What? Anything that exalts itself, it tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your flow. If someone keeps bringing that thought to you, get them out of your life. Get them out of your flow. Why would you keep letting them bring you prisoners? Say, the jail's full. I'm not taking any more prisoners today. Go elsewhere. So what's another way we can do it? You surround yourself with godly influences. The Bible records that David was a man after God's own heart. That means God's own flow. He wanted the same flow that God had, a pure stream. And so that means he was trying to purify his life by putting all of the things of God around him. See, we don't understand Jewish culture. I didn't understand Jewish culture till I went there and studied with rabbis. And I looked over there and I started seeing everything in Jewish culture is centered around God. Their nation is centered around God. Their communities are centered around God. Their families are centered around God. Their food and their drink is centered around God. Watch this. Their time is centered around God. You name it, it's all about God. Now in America, in our culture, our Western culture, we barely have time to even work God into our schedules. We think we do this great penance. Well, I went to church on Sunday, had a 2-hour service. Spirit was moving, 2.5. Whoop-de-doo! We think we're doing a great penance because we came to a 2-hour Sunday service and we attend an occasional Wednesday night. And we're knocking it out of the park. But can I tell you, in our culture, if someone goes to church more than a couple times a week, they're called fanatics. No, it's true. If someone embraces their faith or, you know, stands up for what they believe in a political arena, oh, they call them radicals. If someone prays in school or they pray in a public place, they're offending someone? What kind of nonsense? Listen, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Say it. Say that I may prove. What is that good? And acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're here for. We are here to prove, not to be approved. Why? To demonstrate. We're here to demonstrate. The Apostle Paul refers to us in 2 Corinthians 3:2. He says, you are our epistles. That means a letter. You're a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, not just your Christian friends. No, people are reading your mail. They're supposed to read your mail. Your Christianity is not a private thing. I'm sorry, your life is not private. Well, I'm just a private person. Well, you need to change that. Because you're supposed to be living proof. Somebody has to see what it looks like. Somebody has to know how it's done. And that means somebody's got to be looking at you because that somebody is you. How is anybody else going to know? How are the people at work going to know if you're over there hiding in your cubicle when you're praying? I'm going to say it. Nobody wants to talk about it. How are people ever going to learn their word if you're having your private Bible studies? Why don't you gather a few people up and say, let me show you what God's talking to me about. And let's say, what are you talking about? I said, let me show you. And then prove it. All people need to see is proof on anything. So why are you here? To prove it. God says you're not supposed to be conformed and just canter down, cow down. No. Nobody's, I'm not looking for approval from anybody. People say, why do you say the things you say? You shouldn't say them. Oh, no, I should. No, no, no. I'm here to prove it. I can't be acceptable when something with God says it's unacceptable. But what God says is acceptable, I don't care if it's unacceptable to them. It's acceptable to God. And if I'm going to answer to anybody, I'm going to answer to God. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove it. Because I didn't come here to be a man pleaser, but pleasing to the things of God. That's not why we're here. Oh, I didn't even want to go down this lane, but I got to stop right here. We're so worried about what people think. Why don't you quit worrying about making friends and start making God manifest in this earth? Why don't you start proving God's will? Why don't you start standing up for the things of God when no one else around you will? You are put here as proof. How do I know Christianity is real? Prove it! When you got people around you walking in faith, walking in supernatural blessing, when you walk in an office and everybody else has got COVID, you don't have it. But you're praying for all the ones that do. Proof. When no one else is getting a raise and all of a sudden you get a raise, and you don't even know what you did to get it? Proof. When favor keeps following you all through your life, yeah, you have a few hardships, but people see you walk through them, and in you walk through them, you're still getting blessed in the process. Proof. How do I know God works? I'm proving it to you. Just watch my life. Read my story. You want to give God some glory? Read my story. I've got a good one. Your life is an open book. So let me ask you a question. What's your story? Is it a story about a hero or is it a zero? Let me tell you, here's the problem. Most of us do what we've been taught, and many of us had some bad teachers. It's the truth. It's really not your fault. We've been exposed to people that were some really bad teachers. And that's why the Bible says you've got to be transformed. You can't walk around with the old cliches. You can't walk around with all that bad teaching yoked on. You got to be transformed, and there's only one way to do it, by the renewing of your mind. Out with the old, in with the new. You've got to be reprogrammed. I don't know if you understand, it is so important to put good, godly people around you because we have a mechanism in our brain. And it allows us to watch others. Look at a baby or a child, about a two-year-old. They imitate. It's called mirror neurons. Monkey see, monkey do neurons. A child will watch you, and it will mimic you. Because they have their mirror neurons are just firing. Now, as cognitive brain takes over, you develop that to a more refinement. Somebody can show you how to do something sometimes one time, and you can do it. How do you do that? Mirror neurons. So you have, watch this. The people that are around you, whether you know it consciously or not, you're doing what they're doing. You start hanging around people, you'll pick up their sayings. You'll pick up their swagger. You ready? You'll pick up their attitude. I hope it's a good one. I'm determined now. If you're negative, I love you. I'm praying for you, but I ain't spending time with you. I don't have enough room. I don't have enough space. I can't let it in. And if you start it, I'm going to take it. I'm going to lock it up. And if you don't stop it, I'm going to lock you out. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to at least three or four people here today. You keep hearing the same thing over and over. You keep putting it. Listen to me. You deserve what you tolerate. Lock it up and lock them out. This is a new year. You can't let the old mindsets, the voices that were speaking to you in the last season, kept you in the past season. You need some new voices speaking some new things, telling you what you can do instead of what you can't do, telling you who you really are instead of what you're not. You need voices building you up, not pushing you down. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Somebody just say, I'm tired of it. Somebody stand up and say, I've had enough. Somebody say, I'm waking up. I'm not going to stay in this place any longer. I can't take it anymore. Somebody say, I'm breaking out. No more. Man, we've been stuck long enough. The problem is, when you see something, you can't unsee it. I've already seen it now. Psst. Psst. It's burned in there. But watch how your mind works. This is really cool. Your mind is like a processor. It runs through the data banks, and every time you get new information or any time you have a question or challenge, it processes all the data, scans it, and it makes an informed decision based on what you have archived. So see, so many times, you had all these bad, wrong thoughts in there, and your mind would include them as decision makers. But when you renewed your mind, the truth kicked out, locked up, locked out. They're not involved in your decision making anymore. So you don't make wrong choices now. You're making better choices, having better thoughts. So if you have one bad thought and one good thought, when a choice comes, you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. So I can't unthink that thought. So what I do is I start stacking the deck. And so I put another one here, and I put another one here, and I put another one here, and I put another one here. And pretty soon, I got the deck so stacked with right thinking that that one little voice down there is like a bird crying out at an airport. Nobody can hear it. And you start drowning out those voices of your past, all those voices that told you couldn't, you wouldn't, you shouldn't, and now you are because you can and you're able, and you're doing it. Somebody say, I'm living this thing. That's why it's so important to stack your life in a positive direction, doing the things that I'm instructing you, because what's around you is what you become. So who do you want to be this year? It's up to you. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, my best friend calls me out of the blue, Bobby. You know what he said to me? I told you the story of my dad. He said, you know, the only time people call you is when they want something. And I thought, man, that's a pretty hard statement, Dad. He said, you don't believe me. Check the next 10 phone calls that come in. I didn't check 10, I checked 20. 20 out of 20 were somebody wanting something from me. I had to call him back and repent. I said, Dad, you're right. Whoa. My best friend Bobby calls me. You know what the first word out of his mouth was? I was just calling to check on you. I don't need anything. He said, but I just wanted to let you know, man, I've been praying for you. I don't even know. He said, the Lord's had you on my heart and I've been praying for you. And he said, I just wanted you to know it. Then he spent the next 20 minutes just encouraging me, building me up, lifting me up. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a few challenges, some things that were supposed to happen that didn't happen. Anybody ever have those frustrating moments? And you know God's going to do it, but you're in that transition of time. Well, he hasn't. You know, it hasn't manifested. And it was just one of those mornings. I just was feeling a little beat up. He had no idea. But the difference was, he's told me this many times. He said, Doc, I got to pray every day about everything. Or he said, I don't have it. He said, I've got to do it. But it's because he was praying and he was a student that he knew to call me to build me up so I could come here today and build you up. Because I knew God was thinking about me. Why? Because he wouldn't have had Bobby call me at a time I needed by the Spirit to say the things of God I needed to hear to build up and fill my spirit full if God wasn't looking out for me. And if I didn't have a Bobby in my life, who was going to call me? Who was going to do it? So you better have a few folk around you who will speak to you that aren't always asking for something, but they bring something to you to put into your life, to build you up, to change you, to make you better. That's why God put them in your life. Y'all way too quiet today. In order to rewrite these files, we've got to create a God culture in our own life. If we don't, we're just going to slide right back into the old routines. We're never going to transform, and we're going to conform with the ways of the world. We're going to get stuck. Instead of growing and prospering in the things of God, we're just going to continue. It's like a ping pong bat. You know, you ever watched a ping pong match? Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. That's what our life feels like. We're in, we're out. It's good, it's bad. Doing better, I'm doing worse. Feeling better, feeling worse. My life is good, my life is bad. Do you really want to live there? Listen, look at me. Every day's a good one. If you don't believe me, try missing one. You don't want to live on a constant roller coaster with no sense of direction. I'm talking to somebody today. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind, the teaching, and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We're not babies anymore. We're not baby Christians anymore. Look at your neighbor and said, grow up. Now look right back at him. We've got to qualify this. Say, and I'll grow up with you. Come on, look back and say, let's grow up together. Because a person that's in and out and up and down and all around, James 1:8 says, such a person is double-minded. And they're unstable in all that they do. Now listen, I think the NLT translation nails it here. It says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Man, I don't know about you, but I want stability in my life. Listen, I'm going to close with this. Jesus just cut right through it all, and he made it simple. He said, I would rather you either be hot or that you would be cold. You can't hang out in the middle. You have to choose one or the other. And if you don't choose hot, then you've already made your choice. We need to develop a Christian lifestyle. Can you please stand to your feet? Sometimes it's a lot to get your head around. But this word, it needs to confront the areas in our lives. Present us with the truth to hear the things that sometimes are hard to hear. Things that many times we don't want to hear. But I could tell you more often than things we don't want to hear. Is full of things we like to hear. You know, the Bible calls you blessed. The Bible calls you royalty. I don't know about you, but I like to hear that. The Bible says we have a God that'll never leave us nor forsake us. I like to hear that. We've got a God that promises to watch over his word to perform it for us. I like to hear that. There's a lot more things that you want to hear than the things you don't want to. Trick is you have to hear. We have to get it into our flow. And then what's flowing to us will flow through us. We've learned how to have a Session one, a healthy Christian life. Now we know how to build stability. How to develop a Christian lifestyle. Something that's lasting. Something that's purposeful. Something that's going to allow us to stay our course and to see this thing through. I don't know about you. But if there was a plan already developed for me before I even showed up in the womb, I want to see what it is. And I don't want it to be my fault that it didn't come to pass. So in other words, I'm having to do a whole lot of fixing on me every day. Bible says, work out your own salvation. So you know my rule. If you heard something here today and you're like, man, I hope they're getting it. You may be here with your spouse going, man, I hope he heard that. I hope she heard that. Maybe your kids are here and you're thinking, well, I hope they heard that. That means it was probably for you. That's the rule. So how many heard something here for you today? Now the rest, that's up to you. Choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we're going to go ahead and serve the Lord. You know, God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what shape you showed up in here today. You might think you have all your stuff together, or you may have wandered in here today, and you may say, man, I don't have a clue. I haven't seen the ball since kickoff. It doesn't matter how you got here. It matters what happened once you arrived. And I believe through the Spirit of God, the Lord spoke to a lot of hearts here today. And if he did, he wasn't here to waste your time. He's here to make you better. That means he's got something for you. And something he's wanting to use you for. But guys, can I say it? We've got to shake off this dust of lethargy And we've got to step up into the excellency of the calling of Christ. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm not scolding you. I just want you to see how it appears to God. How many people like the fact that we have an on-time God? Right? How many of us appreciate that we have an on-time God? Then why can't we be on time? I'm not scolding you. But if we're going to walk in excellence, this music up here is not entertainment. I don't want to miss the first note. Church starts at 10 o'clock. We drop the hammer right at 10 o'clock. If it was 6 o'clock in the morning, I think I would understand. But at 10 o'clock, you should be loaded in that seat, ready to go. You should be sitting there praying or talking to your friends about the Lord. What's he going to do in here today? You should have a level of expectation. What's going to happen? And then you get your instruction for the week. Now you get to go out and you get to work on everything we talked about. So God could take that and develop fruit in your life. You should be looking forward to Wednesday night. Shouldn't be, just can't wait to get here. Man, on Wednesday nights, I'm putting a whole panel of ministers up here. Man, you got a plethora of wisdom that's going to be speaking into your life about topics you need to understand. Because even if you're not confronting with it now, you're going to be dealing with it sooner or later. So why not go ahead and get the answer ahead of time? Small groups. I can't tell you enough how important Christian fellowship is. And passing each other in here with a quick cup of coffee on Sunday, it's a great way to meet, but you don't get to learn people unless you spend time with each other. So we've got interest groups, things that people are interested in, so you can get interested in the people around you. Take part in them. Be a part. Step out. Say, this year, I'm not just going to hide in my private. I'm going to be a letter for everybody to read. I want everybody to see who I am. I want everybody to know what I'm about. That's what we're called to do. And so I'm just as your pastor, I'm just here to challenge you. I'm trying to put my foot in your back. Try something. If you want something that you've never received, you're going to have to do something that you've never done. And I will tell you, it will always start with one thing, commitment. Commitment. And what's my favorite saying? What are excuses? Permission to fail. People will tell me all the time, oh, Bishop, I'm sorry, I was going to be at service. Don't tell me. I can't give you permission to fail. If that was what was in your heart to do, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at any of you ever. I'm just here to tell you the truth. Your reconciliation comes from heaven, not from me. I'm just an informant. Anybody that shares this pulpit, we're just informing you of what God said. It's not my opinion. There is no first and second book of opinions. Two or three are going, you mean there's not? I thought that was a book. And so since this is a pretty big deal, this Christian life thing, since everything kind of rides on it, I don't know, maybe we could make it a priority this year. I'm just suggesting, making suggestions. Because if you do, like David, you center your life around God instead of having God center himself around your life. That's the person after God's own heart. So what I want to do before we leave here today, if you came here today and you have never really said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. You've never really asked him to come in and make that change that will change you forever. Romans 10:9 says you just pray a prayer. But you have to believe in your heart And if you believe in your heart what you heard here today, that Christ cares about you, that he died for your sins so you don't have to go to hell, that you have an eternal place with him in heaven. If you'll just believe that, then what we say today, out of the abundance of that heart, you'll confess. And then you'll say that. The Bible says you're saved. That's it. It's not hard. It's not weird. It's not spooky. It's just coming to a very sobering point in your life saying, I need change. And that change is Jesus. And he will change everything for the better. And so if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'd like to do that. In a few minutes, we're all going to pray a prayer together. Nobody's going to embarrass you here today. That's not what we're about. But if you'd like to be included in that prayer, so I just like to know who I'm praying with when we're praying, and I'm kind of agreeing with you while we're praying. I'm not going to call your name or anything, but if that's you, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public, so you should never be ashamed to receive him in public. So this is an open relationship you're going to have, not a hidden relationship, not a secret relationship. Remember, you're a letter now. So if that's you today and you've never really prayed that prayer, let me see. Can I just see who you are? No one looking around. Just can I see who you are? Just lift your hand up so I can see who you are today. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Looking across. Thank you for that hand. That says all. Thank you for that hand. That hand's going up. Anyone else? Let me just look one more time. Thank you for being so honest. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you're here today and you'd say, you know, Pastor, I made that prayer, but God, life, sometimes it just, I don't know what happens, but we just get a little distance between us and where we once were with God. But you know you need to be called back into a stronger relationship, and you're sitting here today and you go, man, I want to come back. I want to be restored. I want to be back in that flow, that good flow. If that's you today, let me just see who you are so I can just say thank you for the hands all over the house. Thank you for hands. Thank you for being honest. That's how you fix it. You just tell God. And just like that, one prayer of restoration, and you're right back where you were. Now, this is the final call, and that's simply this. If you were here today, and you heard the word, and you knew that God was talking to you, and there were some things that you're going to have to step up in your game and in your life, a few things you're going to have to fix. If that's you, can I see your hand today? Yeah, it looks like God connected with you. You can put your hand down. So what we're going to do when we pray, we're covering all this. And it's not important that you hear me pray. But in your prayer is a commitment back to God. So when we pray, let's make sure we're all agreeing that, God, I heard you, and I'm going to fix it. It's one of them, heard you, God, let's fix it prayers, okay? And so it's not important that you hear me pray it, not important that you hear the people around you praying it. It's important that you believe in your heart and hear yourself praying it. So right now I want to do exactly what I said. Everyone bow your head, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am now a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. In Jesus' name, I believe it, I confess it, and that settles it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for this morning. I hope you're enjoying the series. We've still got a lot to go through. But please, go back online, listen to them again, spend time in the word to allow it to change you. Please take heed to the things that God's speaking to you through these sermons, because of the things that he's requiring to bring the change necessary to do the things that he wants to do for you. Do we serve a great God? Come on, one more time, put your hands together.